It is great to be back at Oasis again on a Saturday night. This is the highlight of my week. It's awesome. It's so much fun to be here. And we have been in a series called We Need to Talk. And I told you guys that last week was our last week in the We Need to Talk series. And then I sat down this week to look at our next series and got really excited about it. But there's a piece that we didn't cover last week about the whole Matthew chapter 18 thing that I really kind of felt like I wanted to cover that was really cool. And I thought, well, I'll save that for another time, another message. But I just kind of felt God telling me I needed to go back and cover that. And so we're going to do We Need to Talk one more week. We're going to finish it up tonight. And this is going to be our wrap up. And we're going to kind of bring it all together. Because there's one more incredible lesson that I believe God wants to share with us tonight from Matthew chapter 18. And here's the bottom line of tonight's lesson. I'm going to give it to you early. That way you can start your tweeting and your Facebooking and writing it down, and you can remember it and have this in your mind as we talk through this whole process. And here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, when I avoid, my walk is destroyed. It rhymes in everything, okay? When I avoid, my walk is destroyed. When I avoid, my walk is destroyed. And we're gonna talk about this, we're gonna work through this, okay? But I wanna ask you guys a question. Have you guys ever felt disconnected? Disconnected. The phone company shut you off. They shut off your water and power. Okay. Or have you ever felt disconnected from God? Yes. Yes, me too. I felt disconnected from God. Have you ever felt disconnected from other people? From others around you? Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? You guys are kind of all shaking your head. Yes, I felt disconnected before. Okay. And this happens a lot. And there are times that I've been disconnected from people because of offense, right? And this is what Matthew chapter 18 is kind of all about, the whole conflict resolution. That I've been disconnected from people because I offended them. So they don't want to be around me because I'm a jerk, and they certainly don't want to be in my company because I offended them. And every time they see me, then it like brings that back up of that thing that I did. And so then they kind of avoid me, right? On the other hand, there's people maybe who have offended me, and so then I kind of don't want to be around them. Because they did this thing, you know, and every time I see them, then it brings up these emotions and these feelings, and I'm kind of on edge. Maybe you had a boss or something, a boss, a parent, an authority in your life, and you kind of felt like you walked on eggshells around them, right? And you kind of just tried to tiptoe around them and stay as far away from them as possible, you know, while still being kind of semi-social so as to not rock the boat, right? You've been there? But it's not the same as when you're really connected with someone, you have a great relationship, you have a friendship, and you feel like you can kind of let your guard down because you trust each other and you're friends. You feel disconnected. My wife and I, we had a fight the other day, you know, when Alicia and Dylan were supposed to be coming over. And so we're fighting, you know, and we're going at it and we're yelling and stuff. And then Alicia and Dylan show up. And so, of course, we got to stop the fight because we got company. So, how rude, you know, for them to show up during our fight. And so, you know, we just kind of avoid each other. We don't talk to each other. I go into the living room, and I'm kind of just moping around. You know, I go play chess with Dylan. I won, by the way. I don't think it was because I was angry, but maybe it was. I don't know. But, you know, I'm doing my thing, and Lee's making dinner, and we're just, like, just kind of not really talking. If we see each other, we're just kind of just go on until dinner's ready, and I go to get my plate and stuff. My wife just looks at me. She says, "Are we done? Are we done with this?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. Are you done?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, and so then we forgave each other. "I forgive you. I'm sorry. I was an idiot." And she says, "I'm sorry. I forgive you." You know, and we let it go. We resolved it. But we do this all the time, right? And without forgiveness, there's always a disconnect when there is no forgiveness or resolution. There's always some sort of disconnect when there's no forgiveness or resolution. There's always this like thing, and maybe it's subconscious, maybe it's packed down really deep, and it comes out in ways that you just kind of guard yourself around everybody because of the deep wound that you had from a long time ago. It happens, okay? It's real. But it's kind of how we were made. We weren't made to have these kind of situations where we're deeply offended by someone and then everything's just kind of okay and we just go on. It doesn't really work that way. And when we operate that way, we know there's some kind of dysfunction going on in our relationship because we're not dealing with it. So I want to show you this disconnect in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 through 20. Matthew chapter 18, and you guys are going to be sick and tired of Matthew chapter 18 by the time we're done, right? You guys there yet? Yes, no? Some of you maybe? If you didn't get to hear the rest of the series, parts 1 through 3 are online. You can listen to them at yourcbcfamily.org. Just click on sermons and look for the We Need to Talk series. But Matthew chapter 18, verse 17 through 20, this is what it says. It says, if he refuses to listen to them, this is the third time that they go to, or this is the second time that he refuses, the second time when you take friends to talk to him. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. And the truth is, when we avoid, our walk is destroyed. Our walk with each other is disconnected. For instance, if we're not in fellowship with each other, we're disconnected, we're not on speaking terms. You guys ever said that? Well, I'm not on speaking terms with them, right? You're not on speaking terms with them? It affects others around us. It does. It affects others around us. So, for instance, here it says, the whole process, let's start from the beginning and just kind of go from there. Someone offends you, you're supposed to, somebody say it. If someone offends you, you're supposed to go to them. You guys get this, right? You guys hate this, right? So you don't want to say it. You go to them and say what offended you with the desire to forgive them. Okay, that's why you're approaching them. You're not approaching them to throw rocks. You're approaching them because you want forgiveness and restoration of the relationship. Okay? If someone comes to you, you are to apologize, own the wound, see the wound that you caused in them, figure out what that was, because obviously somehow your actions hurt them and offended them, even if you didn't intend it that way. It was painful. What you did, how you said it, the way you did it, did not come across the way you intended. And so you need to apologize. You need to figure out, how did I wound them? You need to own your piece of that and then apologize and make amends. And that apology goes a long way. Okay? Now, the process is, if you go to someone and you share the offense, when you blank, I felt blank, and then they're like, well, get out of my face, you're an idiot, you know? They just kind of throw you away and you know, give you special words on a text message and all this stuff, you know, when they kind of just blow you off and get in your face, maybe scream or shout, stomp, and all that good stuff, then you take witnesses with you. You take a friend. You take someone who loves you and someone who loves them. Okay, ideally it's the same person that loves you and them, and they love both of you guys and want this relationship restored. You take someone with you so they can see if you're being an idiot or if they're being an idiot. And they can kind of help witness this, okay? They can kind of help facilitate the discussion. If they still won't hear that person, and this person sees that this person is that you've gone to about the offense, it's just not hearing you. He's like, yeah, I stole your car. You're never getting it back. I don't care. I would rather burn it and drive it over a cliff, you know. And so get out of my house, you know, or I'll shoot you kind of thing. And they witness this. Then you tell it to the church. And obviously this is a process you use with other believers, because if they're a non-Christian, then you can kind of expect them to be offensive and sinful, because they don't know any better. They don't have Jesus inside of them. So how are they going to do anything different? So you tell it to the church, and then the church will go to them, the church leadership, will approach them and say, hey, what you're doing is destructive to yourself, and it's starting to cause a problem, a brokenness in the body, because when we're disconnected from one person, it starts to affect other people around us. I'm sure when Alicia and Dylan came over, there was this awkwardness kind of just hanging in the air, because Lee and I had just kind of been at each other, right? You guys have been there. You walk into a situation, and someone's like, kind of looking like this, and then the other person's over here like, you know, and you're like, hey, how you guys doing? Fine. Oh yeah, what's going on? Nothing. it messes up the whole relationship. It messes up other people's relationships, because there's this awkwardness hanging in the air. If they don't listen to the church, and they've decided to be toxic, they've decided to that they're not going to change their ways, and they're being harmful for themselves, and they're also going to be harmful to the body. And that at the very drastic measure that you have to say, you're not welcome here until you're ready to change this part of your life. Until you're ready to come to terms with what the decisions you're making, you're not welcome here until you change. And that's hard, that's painful, but that's the process. And it's so interesting that if when the Bible says, do not murder, we wouldn't dare say, whatever, God, I'm going to murder anytime I want. You know, you can't tell me what to do. Or don't steal. I think we should be able to steal. I think that's silly. I don't like that in the Bible, so I'm just going to ignore it. That's difficult. I like stealing. It's hard to earn money to buy things. We would never be okay with that justification, right? Or what about lying, you know, like, thou shalt not lie. Well, come on, God, telling the truth is really difficult, so I'm just going to lie all the time, you know. That would be absurd. We would clearly see that we are walking directly opposite from what God wants for our lives. We would see that clear as day. I've decided to be a murderer. God says, don't murder. I'm walking away from God. Like, it's just pretty simple. That's like cut and dry. It's like black and white. But why is it then, and we would know, if I'm out murdering, lying, stealing, then I'm probably disconnected from God's influence in my life, right? There's probably a disconnect between my relationship with God. There's an issue there, probably. Would that be safe to say that my spiritual walk probably isn't the best because of all the murdering, the stealing, and the killing? Yes, okay. And people would know that we're a dangerous person to be around because we're making these kind of decisions. But when it comes to Matthew chapter 18, myself included, even though we're Christians, we feel like we get a kind of a, there's like a clause in there, like when it's really difficult, I don't have to do it. Like, come on, God, you want me to go and tell them that what they did hurt my feelings and it offended me? Ah, that's really hard, God. That's difficult. I have a problem with them, God. This person, you know, has just really caused me all kinds of... Did you go to them and do Matthew chapter 8? No, I wouldn't do that. And even as Christians, well, I'm just giving it to God. Well, God didn't say to give it to him. He said to go deal with it. He said to actually go deal with it. And we're not being Christian when we do that. When we ignore Matthew chapter 18, we're being disobedient. You're being disobedient to God when you don't go and seek to forgive. In fact, when you don't take responsibility for your actions so that you can receive forgiveness when someone else comes to you and say you're sorry and make amends, you're being disobedient to God. You're being disobedient to God. When you avoid the situation, I'm going to avoid the conflict. When you avoid, your walk is destroyed. Your walk with God starts to become broken and disconnected. Look at Psalm 66:18. I want to illustrate this for you. It says, in Psalm 66:18, this is David speaking. He says, I had cherished, and if I had a cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. What David is saying is that if I had sin that I kind of held in my heart, that I wasn't willing to give up, then God wouldn't hear my prayers. Another one is 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Ouch. I feel like that's kind of pointing at me right now. Okay. Live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. It goes on, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. Peter tells us that the way we treat our spouse, and is speaking specifically to the husband here, the way that we treat our wife affects our prayer life. That maybe God won't listen to me because I'm a jerk to my wife. That if I'm not treating my wife with honor, God won't hear my prayer. That's serious. The way that we treat other people is a big deal. When you're disobedient, your communication with God is messed up. It gets broken. It gets jumbled up. There's a break. It's not that you're not saved, that you're not in God's family anymore, but it's like this. There's a disconnect with God. It's when we say, God, I don't want to do what you say, then God says, okay, have it your way. We have nothing else to talk about until you're ready to change that. Because you're not listening. Your prayer life will feel empty. Reading the scriptures will be dry, and it will feel like God's not there. It will. As if being disconnected with God wasn't bad enough, though, there's this domino effect in our lives. There's a domino effect in our lives, and this is what I really wanted to share with you guys. The domino effect is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is what it says. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Our connection with God and how that relationship is going is directly related to our relationship with each other. Our connection with God and how our walk with God, our spiritual life is doing, is directly correlated with our relationships with each other. There is a connection with that. There is a definite connection. When I avoid Matthew chapter 18, when I avoid conflict, when I avoid other people because I don't want to deal with it, my walk with God is at risk of being destroyed. Now, I'm not talking about boundaries, because there are boundaries. We saw in Matthew chapter 18 that when someone chooses to be toxic, when they choose to continually make bad choices and poor choices, we talked about this in guardrails and about the kind of friends that we pick, then there is a time for us to say, "I'm done. I'm not talking to you. I'm not going to answer your phone calls. I'm not going to hang out with you because you're a toxic person. And you are dangerous for me. You're dangerous for my family. And I cannot be around that." That's healthy, okay? But that's completely different from, "I can't believe what they said to me at work the other day. And then now I'm going to avoid them and talk about them behind their back." Okay? Or, "I'm not going to church because of that person and what they did. This thing that happened," and you don't, instead of going to them and saying, "Hey, this is how I perceive this. This is how this came across to me. It deeply offended me." You're just going to avoid it and then bury that, and that's going to grow like a seed of bitterness and all kinds of stuff that's going to choke off your walk with God and your relationship with each other. Our decision to ignore Matthew chapter 18 affects every other relationship in our lives. It does. Every other relationship in our life. And I know, you're like, "I just have this one person I have an issue with, or I just have two people, you know, that person at work and then the, you know, my mother, or that thing, or the family roads. I just have this one thing, you know, and everything else in life is great." It's not true. It affects our relationship with God, because our connection with God and our connection with each other is totally related. And there's good news, though. There's an incredible opportunity when we are connected with God to be connected with each other. In fact, our deepest friendships will be with each other as we share a relationship with God. Our deepest friendships are when we share a relationship with God together. That's why you shouldn't date somebody who is not a Christian. You really shouldn't. You shouldn't hang out with a crowd constantly and make them your closest confidants when they're not Christians. Sure, you reach out to the lost world. Sure, you want to be friendly and kind and nice, to tell people about Jesus and to be kind to them, invite them to church, invite them into your life to see how you live and how you walk with God. But your closest friends should be believers, should be people who know Christ and who are going the same direction as you. Matthew chapter 18 and 19, these last verses, let's read these again. It says, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father, by my Father in heaven, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Now, I want you guys to think about this. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, it says, "What you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed." And this is kind of confusing, and this is part of why I wanted to avoid this verse, because it's doctrinally kind of heavy, and it's like, oh, what do we do about this? But when I studied it out, what I found is, and you might see this in the footnotes of yours, it's what the Greek here is awkward, and it's tense, and the grammar and everything. And let me explain it, break it down to you. It says, "What you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven." will have been bound in heaven. That God has already bound it in heaven. And what you loose on earth will already have been loosed in heaven. This is what Jesus is kind of referring to. And then he says it again. And I think verse 19, and I'm so thankful that we have verse 19 because it says, again, I say to you, which means that he's clarifying. I want this to be very clear to you. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among you. The key here is agreement. There's this incredible agreement. When I'm connected with God and I'm walking with God in a powerful way in my Bible reading, in my prayer life, when I'm right with God and you're right with God and you have the same connection with God and your walk with God is great, what you're going to find out is we're going to find ourselves in agreement about a lot of stuff. We will discover ourselves in agreement about a lot of things. For instance, let me share with you this story. I remember it like it was yesterday. Pastor Joe and I, we were just going through a time of, it felt like a dry spell in the ministry here of just, where are we going? What is the vision that God has for us? Just a time of prayer, a time of just seeking God, and just frustration, honestly, as to what to do and where to go. And we're sitting in the office and we just said, you know, we're probably not going to get, you know, a lot of just people who have no issues, who love God and just know him and have a lot of money that are just going to come in the door and come to our church, just walk in for no reason. We're probably not going to do that. In fact, there's a lot of churches in town that are reaching out to that group of people, reaching out to those who are, call themselves religious, who, you know, are looking for a traditional kind of feel of Christian, maybe that they grew up in, or you know, or maybe more upscale, not looking for a place where certain kind of people attend. And we just looked at each other and we said, you know, our prayer, our deepest prayer is that God would send us broken people. And we just decided that, like right there. It was like, I said it and he said it. And he's like, you know, you're right. And there was this perfect agreement. And it was like almost this, like an emotional breakdown. And I said, this has been on your heart for a while, hasn't it? And he said, yeah. And I said, this has been on my heart for a while. And it was like this discovery that God had been speaking to both of us about the same thing, that what God has put us here to be is a place for broken people, a place for wounded, broken people. And that changed things, and that was about 5 years ago, you know, and we started shifting and refocusing and changing some of our programming, and it was difficult, it's been painful to change, to accommodate broken people, to say broken people are welcome here because that's what God has put us in Uniontown to do. And it was this agreement because I was connected with God and Pastor Joe was connected with God. And we discovered what God had already loosed in heaven, that he had loosed this vision, this plan, this design out for Calvary Baptist Church. And so we kind of claimed it and we prayed that God would do that. And that's what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about, you know, me and Sarah and Caitlin, we just get together and we're like, all right, let's pray that God sends us 20 gallons of butter pecan ice cream. You know, and we agree, like, how could we be wrong, you know, and then we pray, and then, like, bing bong, you know, the door rings, and it's like, I got a delivery for you, you know, and it says it's from the Father, you know, and it's 20 gallons of butter pecan ice cream, you know, like, how are we going to freeze that, I don't know, but, you know, it doesn't work that way, and some people say that, like, oh, you just name it and claim it. That's not what it's talking about here. What it's talking about here is when we are in connection with God, and we are in connection with each other, we're going to find ourselves in agreement, discovering what God has already spoken in heaven, being in agreement with his word. And there will be no guess. God was already on board with what we had discovered, and you guys will see that too. It's instant agreement. When we're in agreement with God and each other, God shows up in powerful ways. That's what it says in this last verse. Again, I say it unto you, if you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. When we agree, when we're walking with God and we're willing to seek to reconcile relationships with each other, God shows up in a powerful way in our lives and puts his hand of blessing on what we have agreed to do together. That's what it's all about. That's part of where the power of God comes from. And that's what's at stake. That's really what's at stake when we decide that Matthew chapter 18 isn't for me, that I don't think I can do that, that I don't think I need to do that, that that's not where I should go. That's what's at stake. That we could lose out on the power of God in our relationships with each other and in our endeavors together as we try to build the kingdom of God. We could totally miss out on that. When we say, I have nothing to say to them, God, I don't care what you say, I'm not budging, then God says, go ahead, have it your way. But I also have nothing to say to you. Just like it says that God forgives us when we forgive, and when we don't forgive, then he will treat us the same way, as it says in the next part here in the parable that we talked about before. The bottom line is, when we avoid, our walk is destroyed. And God doesn't leave you, but the truth is that you have left his path for your life because there was a big pile of pain that he wanted you to walk through, and you said, that's not for me. That is not for me. So this week, this is our final week of the We Need to Talk series, and I want to ask you guys to think about this week. Who do you need to go to? Who do you need to talk to and say, when you did this, it offended me. I felt this way. I don't know if you intended it. I don't know if it was meant that way, but that's how I felt, and I think you should know. Who do you need to go talk to? Who do you need to forgive? Who has come to you and said, hey, when you did this, I felt this way, or you see them kind of walking around, acting awkwardly around you, passive aggressively, and you're like, okay, what's up? And you're just ignoring it and letting them go because maybe it'll blow over. Maybe you need to go and apologize and figure out what's wrong, figure out where the brokenness is. If you're struggling with your relationships, you're struggling with relationships with all kinds of people in your life. It's not just one or two people. It seems like all kinds of relationships just constantly seem to be broken, and there's drama, and it's like, wow, why can't I find a good friend? What's going on? Maybe it's you and your walk with God. Because if you're not in the light, if you're not connected with God, then you're not going to be connected with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You won't be. There's a correlation there. It might be you. I want you guys to imagine what God could do with a team of people who stand in agreement together with God's plan for our city. That's what we want. With a whole church of people that say, I agree, this is what God has called me to do. This is why I am here right now to put my hand to this plow, to work at this plan, this vision that God has given us to reach the broken people of our city. It's going to be unstoppable. It's going to be unstoppable. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for your word. God, we had some difficult concepts tonight, Lord. But we want to drive home and remember that our relationship with you and our relationship with others is connected. That we don't get to be okay with one and not with another, and vice versa. Lord, I pray that we would take seriously your instructions. We would take seriously our obligation to restore relationships. To do what we can do, Lord, our part, to reach out, to forgive when we need to forgive, to apologize when we need to apologize, and to reconnect so that we can be connected with you, God. Lord, I pray that we would model this as a team, as a church, that we'd be willing to do this, that we'd be willing to teach other people to do this as we grow and as we serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.